could the God of heaven love a helpless soul like mine? Why would the great I am send his only son to die? The price he paid for my sin was much too high a cost. But Jesus came and found me and loved me to the cross. He came to me. Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. Sin was all I could see.
He came to me.
Why would he want to come down, leaving heaven's throne? The earth and all within it could have made his glory known. Yet he saw a worthless sinner and redeemed me through his love. I don't have to know the answers, for I'm covered by the blood. He came to me. Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see,
he came to me.
He came to me.
I was lost, now I'm found, since the Savior came down
and changed my end. A child of the King,
he came to me.
Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. Sin was all I could see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. Jesus came down and found me. He came to me.
That free. Free, free. Amen. Thank God I'm free.
Amen.
Amen. I want to preach a message to you this morning that's very sobering. Last two Sunday mornings have talked about the grace of God. And I'm thankful for God's grace. Last week we talked about the three words that we need to acquaint ourselves with when it comes to God's dealing with man. We talked about the grace of God. And that's God giving us what we don't deserve. Amen? Thank God for His grace. And then we talked about the mercy of God. That's God not giving us what we don't deserve. Amen? I'm glad that God, or do deserve, God not giving us what we do deserve. God withholds, and that's mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Today I want to talk to you about the third word, and that is judgment. And that's God giving what we do deserve. What a weighty subject. A lot of weight. When you think about One day, every person is going to stand before God. Now, we that are saved will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Be a little bit of a different scene there. But the lost, those that have never received Jesus as their personal Savior, will stand at this judgment. Reflecting on this passage, I want you to notice in verse number 12, it said, "And I saw the dead, small and great," and look at that next phrase, "stand before God." It's a date with deity that every lost person must keep. It's very real. I think deep down in the recesses of every person's heart, they know that one day they're going to stand before God. I think being created in the image of God puts that in the being of a man and a woman and a boy and a girl. One day, only God knows when, but one day, I'm going to stand before God. We run from it. We try to fill our minds with things that would occupy our minds so we don't have to think about it. We try to deny it. We try to explain it away. We do all manner of things to try to keep from thinking about that day. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Judgment day. Judgment day. I read the true story of a preacher that went to a small town. And in this town, there was a skeptic that was always downing the Bible and downing God. And anytime a guest preacher came to town, he would confront him and try to question him and try to agitate him. And so he found out that this young preacher was coming to town, and no sooner than the preacher had got off the bus, the town skeptic was waiting for him, and he said, "I heard you're here to preach." He said, "I want you to know I don't believe the Bible." And that young preacher said, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment." And he said, "Don't you quote your Bible to me. I told you I don't believe the Bible." And he said, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I want you to know that I'll do everything I can to break up that meeting. I'll come and I'll withstand your preaching." And that young preacher said, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment." "Didn't you hear me? Don't you have anything else to say? Is that the only defense you've got? Say something." "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." "That's not good enough for me. You can look for me there. That may be all you've got to say now, but I'm not going to go away. I'm coming back. I'll be there every night." "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." He let out a big sigh and walked away. True story. Walking home, his anger began to melt, and his heart began to change. And for the next several hours, all he could think about ringing in his ears. He tried to go to sleep that night, but he couldn't, because all he could hear was, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment." Eventually, the man got saved in the grace of God. And when asked, "What was it? What happened? The town skeptic. You didn't even come to one of the meetings the first time you came. You didn't come to disrupt it. You came, you listened, and you came forward. You got saved. What happened? He said, well, that preacher, he said, I just got to thinking about what he said. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. Can I tell you that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's a judgment day coming. I want you to look down at the scripture that Pastor David read in your hearing, and I want to give you just three simple thoughts about this event that's going to take place one day. There's several things in the scripture, and I'll just bring out some of the things that God's laid upon my heart. This week, as I was going back through some notes and looking and just meditating on what this time is, it went back over some old notes where I had written down a quote by Daniel Webster. Someone had went to Daniel Webster, the man who penned the Webster's Dictionary, and they said, Mr. Webster, what is the greatest thought that's ever passed your mind? And without hesitation, he said, the greatest thought that's ever passed my mind is that I am accountable to Almighty God. You are too. I am too. We live our lives sometimes as though we're not, but that doesn't change the fact that we are. A lot has happened leading up to this that I'll not go into in detail, but I will tell you, one day soon, perhaps today, Jesus is coming back. You say, well, now, preacher, I don't believe that. What do you got to say to that? And as it is appointed unto man, once to die, and after that, the judgment. You may not believe it now, but you will then. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to rapture his church out of here. And there's going to come a man on the scene on this planet, in this world, the Antichrist. And this world is going to be in so much upheaval, it's going to be in such tribulation, such hardship, such sorrow, such as though this world has never known. The saints of God will be in heaven, standing before the judgment seat of Christ, sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the close of that, we find in Revelation 19, one chapter previous to that, where Jesus will bring us back, and he is going to, after defeating the enemy, he's going to put the devil in captivity for 1,000 years and set up his rule and reign upon this earth for what we call the millennial kingdom. He's going to sit on the throne of his father David for 1,000 years, and we that have been faithful are going to rule and reign with him upon this earth. At the close of that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be let out. You can read this in chapter 20 in the previous verses. And when he is set free from prison, in verse number 7 says that when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And it says that he's going to go and he's going to deceive the nations from the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about of the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven, from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And now it's time to deal with those that have rejected Jesus Christ. And he said, I saw a great white throne. John writing said, you know, it's time for the final judgment. And he said, I looked up and he said, this is not like the throne that I saw earlier. You see, when you go back in the scripture, you can read in Revelation chapter 4 that John saw another throne. This throne was encircled with a rainbow that was green as emerald. And the people were shouting the victory and they were praising God and they were worshiping God. But this one's different. This is not the throne of a king. This is not the throne for celebration. This is the throne of a judge. This is the throne for condemnation. And John said here in verse number 11, look at it. He said, I saw a great white throne. Great, meaning it encompasses great power. Its power is ever reaching. There's no one outside of its scope. No one will escape this judgment that has refused Jesus. White means it's pure. White means there's not going to be any mixture in the judgment. There's not going to be any favoritism in the judgment. It's going to be pure. It's going to be from holiness. It's going to be from a standard that God has set and that God has met in His Son, Jesus Christ. And men had an opportunity to receive that Christ, and men had an opportunity to bring themselves under the authority of that Christ, but they said no, and they rejected Him, and now they must answer to Him. I saw a great white throne. While white speaks of the purity, throne speaks of the purpose. It's a judge's bench. Now every man must pass by the judge to receive their final sentence. And what a sentence it is. John said this. He said in verse number 11, he said, when I looked and I saw that great throne, I saw Him that sat on it. Who is this that sits upon this judgment bench? That sits to judge every person that has said no to Jesus Christ throughout all the history of man. Who is this? Well, we don't have to go far in the scripture to find out. If you'll turn back, just hold your place here and turn back to the book of Acts. If you would, Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter 17, look at verse number 30. I'll give you an opportunity to find it. I want you to see what God said about this. Acts 17 verse 30, the scripture says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Look at it, Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He hath appointed a day. And that's the day that we're looking at in verse number 31, Acts 17, verse 31. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whom He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Who do you think that man is that God has appointed that will sit on the throne in that day? You can turn back to John chapter number 5, and John chapter number 5, and we find who that person is. Jesus said in John chapter number 5, I'll give you an opportunity to find it. I want you to see who every person is going to stand before one day. Not only are we who were saved going to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged for our sin, but those who have rejected Christ will stand before Him face to face to be condemned for their sin. And the Bible says in John chapter 5, Jesus said this. Look, if you would, in verse number John chapter 5, look at verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus is going to judge the lost one day. You say, I thought Jesus loved sinners. Oh, He does. And I'm glad that He does. You see, right now, you can come to Him as Savior. But if you reject Him until this day, you will go to Him as judge. He will no longer be your Savior. You will no longer have that opportunity to claim Him as your Savior. He will be your judge. And I want you to know this is very true. I want you to know this day is coming. Well, preacher, I won't show up. We'll see. Let's read one more scripture in John chapter number 12, if you'll turn there. In John chapter number 12, and then we'll turn back and finish up in the book of the Revelation. In John chapter number 12, look in verse number 48. I find it amazing that we are living in a day, before we read this in John 12, verse 48, we're living in a day where people are nitpicking at the Bible and judging the Bible and critiquing the Bible and saying, well, you know, the Bible has error. No, it's you that has error. Well, you know, I found fault in the Bible. No, the Bible's found fault in you. Well, I'm going to correct the Bible. No, the Bible corrects you. See, we've got all this backwards. It's the work of the enemy. And it's still going on. And here Jesus made it very clear. If you'll look in John chapter number 12 and verse number 48, he said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day." And so the Bible says that one day, as we go back to Revelation chapter number 20, we're going to close in that chapter. In Revelation chapter number 20, the scripture says this. We're not going to turn anymore. I want you to stay focused on this passage. John said, "I was there," and he said, "it was the end of all things." And he said, "I looked, and there was this great white throne of judgment." And he said, "He that sat on it," he looked different this time. He wasn't one that was calling out, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That wasn't his call. He wasn't the lowly Nazarene. He wasn't the one that came teaching and doing good. He wasn't the one that said, "I will save you. I love you. I've come to die for your sin." That wasn't him that sat on the throne. It was him, but he was in a different phase. He said that he was there in judgment, and the judgment on his brow sent everybody from him. Notice what the scripture says in verse number 11. It said, "Whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Isn't that so unlike Jesus? You can read in the scripture where Jesus was walking a town in his earthly ministry and multitudes would throng unto him, but not on this day. Not on this day. There were days in the life of the Lord Jesus that he had to purposefully set aside and escape and go into a mountain to pray and get away from the throngs of the crowd because people so gravitated to him, but not in this day. Not in this day. This is a different day. This is a day of reckoning. This is a day when the grace of God now has been set aside for you. This is a day when the mercy of God has been set aside for you. This is a day where the judgment of God is going to fall. And it's a day that's very real. And it's a day that perhaps someone sitting under the sound of my voice is headed straight to, except you do something about it. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to warn you. And the scripture says, "Whose face the earth and the heavens fled away." You see, if you'll look back in verse number 9, it says that fire came down from God out of heaven. When you read 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter said that one day that the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. And the earth and all that's therein is going to be burned up. I think Peter had an insight to what happened right here. When God is going to destroy all things and make all things new, and there's no place for man to hide. Notice what the scripture says. After the heavens and the earth fled away, it says, look at it, verse number 11, "And there was found no place for them." Hear me now. No place to run. No place to hide. No refuge. No mercy, no grace, no love. The judgment of God has fallen. And now it's time for man to answer. It's a serious time. It's very real. You say, "Preacher, why would you want to preach on a subject like that on a Sunday morning, on the first weekend of May?" Because it is appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the judgment. See, I don't want any blood on my hands. God knows I've got enough. This is real. This is coming. I think about our first parents in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam, he said, "Adam," he said, "of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat thereof, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." We know what Adam and Eve did. Eve ate, and she gave unto her husband, and he did eat also. And they plunged humanity down into condemnation. Now here we are, a cursed people under a curse. Born under a curse, born into sin. When God came to Adam and Eve after they sinned that day, you know what they did? They did what these people wanted to do. Listen to me now. They ran and they hid themselves among the trees in the garden. They ran and they hid because they were ashamed and they feared the judgment of God. But in this day, there's nowhere to run. Look what the scripture says. There was found no place for them. The heavens and the earth had passed away. There was nowhere to run. There was nowhere to hide. Standing barren out before a thrice holy God to give an account of a life that had been wasted. God said, now it's time to answer. It's time to answer. So that's the setting. I believe you could hear a pin drop. I believe you'll be able to hear a pin drop in this day too. It gets quiet when we begin to think about this moment for any of us. It really does. We know it's coming. Only God knows when, but it's coming. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Whether we're saved at the Bema seat or whether we're lost at the great white throne, we're all going to stand before God one day. And then the scripture says, not only was there a setting, notice the summons. He said, I saw the dead, verse number 12, look at it. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. What's happening here? Well, every person, whether they've died on dry ground, whether they've died on dry land, whether they've died in the sea, their bodies are going to be resurrected up. Death is going to deliver their body. In hell, where the spirit went, those who had rejected Jesus is going to deliver their spirit. And their body and their spirit is going to come together for the final judgment, for the judgment throne of God. Who'll be there, preacher? Who'll be there? Well, notice what John said. It'll be the small and the great. I thought about this and I pinned it down. I think, first of all, there'll be those that hate God, those that deny God, those that have been turned over to a reprobate mind, those that shake their puny fists in the face of God and say, I defy the God of heaven. If you're God, do this. And if you're God, do that. And if you're God, do this. And if you're God, do that. They'll be there. Every one of them. Just want you to know. Not glad of it at all. Nor is God, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, and that includes that crowd too, should come to repentance. But they'll be there. They'll be there. You say, oh, I'm glad I don't deny God, and I'm glad I don't say that there is no God. Preacher, I believe in God. Well, they'll be there now. This crowd will be there. They will. But they're not the only ones that will be there. I thought about that passive crowd. You know, there's a lot of passive religious people today. You know, the tolerance, the coexist. Well, you know, don't press religion on your children. I really have no position about religion, church, the Bible. I say to each his own. They'll be there. Well, now, you know, I didn't force anything. I just let everybody do what they wanted. So, will I be there, preacher? You'll be there. You're going to this place right here. You're going to stand before God one day. They'll be there. You say, well, preacher, I'm not that way. I think that God is real, and I think the Bible's true, and I believe that Jesus died, and I believe that we ought to tell people. Well, I thought about this crowd. I thought about the procrastinators. Right? Well, I know I need to be saved. I know I need to get right with God.
I know what Jesus did for me is real. I believe Jesus came. I celebrate his birth at Christmas. I celebrate his resurrection at Easter. I believe he's real. I believe that our time just evolves around the person of Christ. I believe the Bible. I believe he came and he died on the cross. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose again. I believe all of those things. But I'm just not sure that today's a good day for me. I'm going to wait for a more convenient season. We've heard that, right? I think I'm going to wait. I have every intention. Now listen to me. I have every intention on getting right with God. I know it's something I should do. My grandmother did it. My mom did it. And I know I ought to do it. And one day, I'm going to get right with God. And then death comes. And that day that you were going to get right with God is no longer. You're going to be there. Just want you to, but I had every intention, preacher. You're going to be here. Right here. The procrastinator. That person that may be listening even today. Maybe in this building today. That says, I believe all of it. Surely God will let me in because I believe it. Oh no. You must receive it. But to as many, John 1:12, as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The procrastinator. And then there's that crowd, that religious crowd. Well, I'm in church, preacher. I go to church every chance I get. I own a Bible. It's a King James. I've heard preaching. I felt the tug of God on the heart. There's been a couple of times I even shed tears. Preacher, will I be there? If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to be here. I just want you to know, it's very important. It's very important. Religion in itself is not going to do it. Church attendance is not going to do it. Listen, I'm glad you're here today. I do. But going to church has never got anybody into heaven. The baptismal pool, we have one. Love to fill it up every week and baptize folks after they've been saved, because the baptism in itself will never get anyone to heaven. Never has and never will. Church membership, those of you that have joined the church, got a good family going to join this morning, thank God for it, but listen to me. Church membership has never got anybody to heaven. Doing good will never get you there. You could take all the good that's represented in this building, you could take all the good of every person that's ever lived or ever will live, put it together, and that wouldn't get one person to heaven. Hear me now. The Bible says, I saw the dead. Look at it, verse 12. Small and great. I said we wasn't going to turn again, but God laid a verse on my heart. See, this God's teaching me about never saying never. Turn to Matthew chapter number 7. In Matthew 7, I think we have a picture of, just a small picture of what might be taking place here. So you've got people, you're in Matthew chapter number 7, and Jesus is talking about bearing fruit and how a good tree will not bring forth evil fruit and an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And by the fruit you shall know them. Everybody say amen with me now. Amen. By the fruit. Now, I'm not talking about the fruit of this either. It's not the fruit of your lips. It's the fruit of your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, listen, the saddest words to fall upon human ears right there. You'll never hear anything sadder than to hear someone stand before God Almighty at this judgment and hear this proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." It's over now. The sentence is over. It's done. Now there has to be the punishment. John said, after I heard the small and great stand before God, back in Revelation chapter number 20, I find it amazing. And this was a thought as I was reading that. Here's people, and you can do your timelines now. These people have been in hell for 1,000 years. At least. Through the millennial kingdom. Right? They've been raised up to stand at the judgment, and they're still saying, "But God, I did this." See, people, we are so fixated on what we've got to do. We just believe, "I've got to, you know, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and I went to church, and I paid my tithe, and I read my Bible, and I've done good." Hey, none of that's enough. And yet, right down to the very end, they're standing before God. And I don't believe they will have a word to say when they stand before Jesus at the judgment. But I believe when the holy angels of God are carting them off and taking them to their eternal doom and their eternal destination, I believe that they're crying this, "Lord, but Lord, remember, God, I did this and I did that and I did this." Not enough. Not enough. I sit in church, didn't listen, but I sit there. Oh, my Bible, didn't follow, but I had it open. I had good intentions, never followed through with them, but I had them. Oh, the lies that the enemy tells to keep people in a lost condition. It's real. And then the scripture says, as we bring this down in verse 14, the scripture says this: "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Now there's a couple that I'm glad finally gets there. Death and hell are personified. And thank God there'll be no more death. You can read that in chapter 21. Look down in verse number 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." You know why? Cast into the lake of fire. No more death, amen. No more death, no more sorrow. Thank God. Death and hell. No more sin. No more punishment for sin. It's all been taken care of now. Death and hell, verse 14, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment." That's the first death. Actually, both deaths are mentioned in that. "And as it is appointed unto man once to die," that's the first death, "and after that, the judgment." If you're here, it's going to be, as it said in verse 14, because God is always right, the second death. Eternal separation from God forever. In a place that the scripture says in verse number 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I'd be a sorry preacher if I closed the message right there. Wouldn't be much. Wouldn't be worth too much. I'm glad it doesn't have to end there. Now it will for many. But you see, there's a God in heaven that's speaking to somebody's heart this morning that's saying, "It doesn't have to be for you. It doesn't have to be for you. You do not have to die in your sin and go to hell." See, I didn't come here today to just jump around and scream and spit and shout and tell people that you're going to hell one day because the judgment of God is going to fall on you. Yes, that is true. It is true that people without Christ will die in their sin and go to hell, but I'm glad the story doesn't end there. There is hope. There is hope.
See, this God who is a God of judgment, this Lord Jesus, the Son of God who will sit on the throne in this day, right now occupies a place on the right-hand side of the throne of God in heaven. And He is interceding. He's praying. Perhaps there's someone here today that you feel a tug in your heart as the Word of God goes forth. The Holy Spirit of God is tugging in your heart. And He's saying, this message is for you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people in hell that went to hell over so much. Jesus died and he was buried and He rose again. They jump over that. They trudge on through. Some of you have been born in a, listen to me now, you were born into a Christian family. And your dad and your mom have prayed for you, and they've given you the gospel, and they've prayed for you, and they've showed you, and they've told you that Jesus loves you, and you just trudge on through that. And then they bring you to a Bible-believing church. It's funny now, but it's not going to be funny in that day. Not going to be funny in that day. Not at all. We live in a brazen time when folks think, you know what, I'll do what I want, how I want, when I want. You might. Until God says, enough. Don't you think now that God's not in complete control of everything that goes on in life? Because He is. Now, I want you to get this. That's why I got your attention. Because this might be meant especially for you. So please listen. It's your choice whether you want to reject or receive. But I say with a heart full of compassion to you. You're brought to a church. You sit in a Sunday school class. The teacher gets up and pleads with you. You must be born again. You must be born again. And you trudge on through that. You've trudged on through Christ. You've trudged on through your parents. You've trudged on through your Sunday school teacher. Then God puts a preacher in front of you and He says, you must be born again. You'll trudge on through that too. But one day, you'll be in Matthew 7. Now please listen to me. You'll be in Matthew 7. Lord, I heard the Sunday school lesson. I heard the preaching. I believe it. I believe it, God. God, I believe it now. I believe it now. Too late now. Too late now. Hear me. Too late now. Too late. My goodness. The devil's got us thinking that we're invincible. We're indestructible. We're not. One day, life as we know it is going to end. And then we're going to stand before the one who gave us the life that we enjoy. Please hear me. What will be your defense? What will you take to offer before the God of heaven? Don't die in your sin and go to hell. There's nothing or no one worth that. Please listen to me. Let God speak to your heart. Understand that this is reality. This is not some video game. I think we've been so desensitized and so deprogrammed by some video game to think, well, if I die, I'll just get another life. Oh, no. This is not some fantasy. This is not some PlayStation. This is real life. Amen. Standing before a real God and giving a real account. Please. Please. Let's bow our heads together.